Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And it says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." That's telling us, giving us a revelation right there. It's speaking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, in the desert, when they had come out of Egypt. They were going into a desert place. A desert place, by definition, is a place where there is not much water. Because there is not much water, there's not much anything else. Because water is almost the key to any kind of life. When they send missions to the planets, the first thing they're looking for is their water. Because they know if there is no water, there is no life. Amen. Verse 5, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Verse 6 tells us, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Now, it's an interesting thing that when you look at a map of Egypt, where the children of Israel started from, God could have led them all kinds of places. But as I've said before, he led them into a desert place. You know why he led them into a desert place? God will lead you into a desert place so that you have no choice but to depend upon him. He wants our dependency, not on how smart we are, not on our intellect, not on our job, not on our government check, not on our family. He wants our dependency to be upon him. And that's why he led them into a desert place, so they would have only two choices: either trust him or not. Either trust him or not. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, it says that after they had gone into the desert place, they first went to this place called Marah, which means bitter. And there was water there, but they couldn't drink it. And God told Moses to cut down a branch of a tree. Now, what's the amazing thing was, there was a tree. There was a tree in the desert place. That tells you this was a miraculous event. He took this particular tree and he threw it into the water and it became sweet. And for a while, the children of Israel were content. And they traveled on some more to this place called Rephidim. And Rephidim means rest and peace. It's also the place where they had their very first major battle. This was their first major battle after coming out of Egypt, at this place called a place of rest. But God gave them the deliverance, and they won the battle, but they still were not at rest. Why? Because, again, there was no water. They could not feed their cattle. They could not feed their sheep. They could not feed any of their livestock. And, of course, they were thirsty. Verse 2 of Exodus 17, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses." They started to complain and get upset. Even though God had given them a victory over the Amalekites, even though they were in this place that was named rest, they were not at rest. They were some angry people. And they said, "Give us water that we may drink." Remember, I told you, they'd already had miracle after miracle after miracle. They had had the water turned sweet. They had had the children of Egypt being drowned in the Red Sea. They'd had all kinds of miracles happen. And as soon as something negative happens, they stop trusting God. And Moses said, "Why are you getting mad with me? Why are you tempting God?" You know, many times when God leads us into a desert place, we get mad. And we look around for who we can get mad at, whose fault it was. It wasn't my fault. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" They weren't being careful with their words. As I said, God will lead us sometimes into a desert place. Anyone been in a desert place? Sometimes, as David said, he will lead you in the valley of the shadow of death. But it doesn't end there. He says, but I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because if he leads you, he will keep you. If he leads you, he will be with you. You may get sick and God may not heal you right away. You're in a desert place. It's no use getting wrong mad with the pastor because I prayed for you and you didn't get healed right away. God is wanting your dependency upon him. You may have a financial situation. You may have a job situation. God is leading you in a desert place. You should actually be happy. Because you know, if you've been led in a desert place, God is going to have to do a miracle. He wants your dependency to be on him. You may have some family situation that is being very painful to you. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your in-laws. And you're in a desert place. God led you there for a purpose. He wants you to make a choice. You're going to trust him or you're going to give up. Your dependency needs to be on him. As you saw in the New Testament, everything that happens in the Old Testament has a spiritual fulfillment in the New Testament. Jesus, after he was baptized, was led into a desert place. Why? Because he had to experience what you and I experience being in a desert place. And the Bible said he was there 40 days, just as the children of Israel were in the desert place 40 years. And he was hungry. Then comes the tempter. But his first answer, it is written. Man shall what? Not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. So where is it written? Well, it's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. You see, God led them into a desert place so that they could truly be his people. Because if they had been able to do everything for themselves, if all of you won the lotto tomorrow, I think we'd have a pretty empty church next week. Let's be honest. You'd all be booking your world cruise. But God leads you into a desert place so that you are dependent upon him. God leads us into a desert place to humble us, to make us understand we ain't all that. We are not all that. I was telling someone this week, I've been laid off twice. And it is a humbling experience. You know, because they don't tell you when they're going to lay off. It's all a surprise. On like a Friday afternoon, you'll get a message. And they'll say, go to this. You got a meeting schedule. You go to this little room. And it's a room you've never been in. That should start the suspicious bells going off right away. And there's a person in there you don't know from HR. And then your manager's sitting there and I go, okay. Now, this happened to me twice. The first time it happened, I was like the children of Israel. I was like, God, what are you doing here? I don't know what's going to happen. How are we going to make it? But God showed me that even in a desert place, Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man or woman doth not live by bread alone. The first time this happened, I was all upset. I was all concerned. Lord, this is not the plan. Didn't you get the memo, Lord? I was supposed to stay at this job till I retired. That was the plan, Lord. What are you doing? Then he led me to a desert place. And I ended up with a job having to drive an hour out to Madison. So I was only there a year through the worst winter I can remember in Milwaukee. Where, you remember that winter we went down to minus 28? Driving an hour and 15 minutes each day, each way. And I got sick of it. I said, Lord, you got to do something. The Lord said, okay. So another occasion I went in and the same thing happened again. Got a message to go to this little room that I'd never known before. God will lead you to a desert place. Of course, this time I had a little bit more faith. So I went in and you know my story. I went in and they said the same thing. We're so sorry. We're having a reorganization and all of this. And We're so sorry. It wasn't your performance. It wasn't anything to do with you. We're going to give you 4 months severance. And I really, as I told you, tried to look very sad. Man, that's so tough. It's so tough. I hope nobody saw me driving out the parking lot. I was having a good time. No more traveling to Madison. And I started calculating. See, I can go out and get a job tomorrow and double up. I can have 4 months of double pay. The Lord said, no, that's not what you asked me for. You asked to enter into Rephidim, right? You asked to enter into my rest. See, God will lead you to a desert place because he wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him. Three times God tried to teach them the lesson of trust when it came to water. The first time with the branch. The second time with the rock. And it was the place where he had already given them victory. And yet they were so rebellious. I'm not sure what the right word is for those children of Israel. They were hard-headed. Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Now, after all the miracles, you know what their expectation should have been? Okay, where's the miracle? When is it going to happen? Let's look for the cloud. Maybe a river is going to appear somewhere. That's not what they were saying. You understand that to enter finally into rest, something spectacular had to happen at this place. God had given them the victory over Amalek. But still, they were not at rest. They still couldn't feed their animals, and they were not at rest. They were mad with Moses. They were mad with Moses. But there's a revelation given here by Paul in the New Testament. Corinthians 10:4, we read it before. It says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Whatever's in the Old Testament physically is revealed as spiritual in the New Testament. And the revelation is, it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. They didn't realize that there was a rock following them. I believe literally. Because they were in the wilderness 40 years and it only speaks about them needing water three times. See, God had a rock actually literally follow them. The first time the rock appeared, God told Moses at Rephidim, okay, I want you to go and take your staff, and I want you to go to that rock. Stand before the rock on Mount Horeb, and I want you to strike it. You see, Paul is telling us that that rock was Christ. Before they could enter into rest, the rock had to be struck. In the New Testament, that rock was Christ. Before we could enter into rest, before we could get spiritual water, Christ had to be crucified. You understand what God was setting up here? He was setting up a symbol of something he was going to fulfill a couple thousand years in the future. Paul here is explaining that that rock represented Christ. The same rock that Moses hid in when he wanted to see God's glory. He said, you can't see me directly. The only way we can see God when we're hidden in Christ, in that rock. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're in, even if you're in a wilderness situation, stand upon that rock. Amen. Get inside that rock. To enter into his rest, the rock had to be struck. Because it was when the rock was struck, out came water. Out came water. Now, this spiritually happened in the New Testament. Jesus was going with his disciples, and they came to this town called Sychar. And there was a Samaritan woman that came. His disciples had left. And Jesus first asked her for water, and she said to him, look, you're a Samaritan, you're a Jew, why are you having any dealings with me? Plus, you don't even have a bucket. She had no idea who she was talking to. The amazing thing about this encounter, that this was the first person that Jesus revealed who he was. This was the very first person. It wasn't a Jew. It was this Gentile woman who had all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. We really don't know much about her story, but she went out in the time of the day by herself. Why? Because she didn't want anyone around because of her situation. This was the hottest time of the day. They normally don't go out to get water at that, but that's when she chose to come, and she met Jesus. You can be in a desert situation at the hottest time of the day, but if you will meet the rock, in the Old Testament, God told him to stand before the rock and to strike it, and out would come water. And it was after that that the people entered physical rest. They were able to feed all their families with and their goats and their sheep, and they were able to have physical rest. But they never really had spiritual rest. And the proof of it is all the things they did afterwards. All of their doubts and all the stuff that they got into. Over the 40 years, they never entered spiritual rest. God kept on providing, and yet they always were going after false gods. They were worshiping demons and all kinds of stuff. And in fact, 40 years later, the situation reoccurred. This time, it was a different place. This time, the name of the place should tell you something. It was Kadesh. 40 years later, just before now, they're about to enter into the promised land. The rock stops giving water. Now, it's like the situation in my job. The first time, I was in a panic. But this time, I was expecting God to do something. And he did. He showed up. This time, you would think that they had 40 years of miracles every day going out and getting fresh bread on the ground. All they had to do was cook it. Meat would fall from the sky. Don't need to go to Pick and Save. No Myers, no Whole Foods. Your clothes always dry cleaned every morning. Bible said their clothes did not wear out. Now 40 years later, they're in a new place. This place, Kadesh, is from the Hebrew word Kadosh, which means holy. They hadn't showed any faith through the whole 40 years, even though God kept on helping them. Numbers 20, verse 5. They started complaining to Moses again. Wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this? Look what they call the place. Evil place. I wonder how God felt about these people. The place, Kadesh, means holy. They're not realizing it. They're not trusting him. And they get Moses so mad that he does something terrible. Numbers 20, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. Now, I didn't tell you the name of this message, but it was striking out. Striking out. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts, their animals, to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. He was mad. He was frustrated. You know, the worst thing is the devil gets you mad and frustrated. You're liable to strike the rock twice. This is my message today. You're liable to strike the rock twice. Who is that rock? The rock was Christ that followed them. He was only meant to be struck once to enter into rest. He was not meant to be struck twice, to be crucified twice. But some of us, when we get frustrated, when we are in the desert place, some of us, maybe sometimes me, we want to strike the rock twice. And Moses took the rod, verse 9, from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice. The miracle is that water still came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and all their animals. But because of this one thing, which for us looks kind of small, like no big deal, water came out, but it symbolizes crucifying Jesus again. We are not to strike the rock twice. What we're asked to do today is to speak to the rock. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." We're not to challenge God. We're not to get so frustrated that we want to crucify him again. All we're asked to do, all Moses was asked to do, was speak to the rock. I'm not sure what words he was told to say, but all he was told to do was speak to the rock. But because of striking the rock, he broke the symbol that Jesus should only be crucified one time. We don't want to break the symbol that Jesus should only be crucified one time. We need to speak to the rock. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 says this: "For if we sin willfully, repeatedly, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." If we just keep throwing dirt in God's face, if we just take up rocks or sticks and just keep beating him, Hebrews says there remaineth, you know what it is? It's as if his first crucifixion wasn't good enough. The water you provided 40 years ago wasn't good enough, Moses, even though it's been following us all this time. It's as if we're saying, what you did for me before wasn't good enough. What more could God have done for those people? 40 years, they didn't have to work. They didn't have to harvest. All they had to do was go out every morning, pick up the bread, bake their cakes, pick up the quails that fell, and cook their meat. They didn't have to go to the dry cleaners. The Bible said their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Imagine having brand new shoes every day. And they got water out of this rock. God was testing them to see if they could pass. You know, when you fail a test, you know what you're going to have to do? Let me tell you this. You're going to have to take it again. The second time when I was marched into the office, God was testing to see where my faith was now. The first time my faith wasn't that high, and I was, "Lord, what are you going to do? This is terrible." This time, I had some joy. This time, I was actually happy. This time, I knew what God could do. This time, I know how the story was going to end. And I tell you, he gave me the best job of all the 50 years I've been working. With more of everything. "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow thereto." See, God is leading you into a desert place, and he'll let you strike him once. He died once 2,000 years ago, but he's not going to let you strike him twice. You don't want to strike out. This is not baseball. You don't get a third strike. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth." Now, here's the key. A lot of people don't really know the truth. The Bible says when you know the truth will make you free. God is telling us, listen, all you have to do is speak to him. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly to a throne of grace to receive mercy. That's what God wants to give us. He doesn't want to give us judgment. Amen. He doesn't want to give us judgment. He wants to give us mercy. If you look at the story, skip forward 2,000 years, Jesus is speaking to the lady at the well. At first, looks like she wants to hit him. Who are you? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk to each other. We're like enemies. Jesus said, listen, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me. Listen carefully what he said. You would speak to me. You would ask of me. And what would I do? I would give you living water. Hallelujah. You can stand if you could stand. Don't strike out, saints. Today is the day where we can call upon his name. We're given the opportunity not to crucify him. 2,000 years ago, they struck the rock. And that was okay because they were at Rephidim. They needed to enter his rest. But now we're at Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. They shamed God at Kadesh. They dared him to provide the water because they struck him twice. They dared, in fact, in the New Testament, he said, they tested me. And because of that, all those people did not enter into spiritual rest. Bible says in Hebrews, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. This is a spiritual rest that you can enter into if you will speak to him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will say, come on in. Today we have to tell him, yes, come on in, Lord. I want me and you to have a conversation. I want to speak to you. I want to pour out all my troubles to you, Lord. And I want you to give me that living water. That woman, once she realized who Jesus was, she ran home to tell everybody else. I met a man who has some kind of water I've never seen before. It isn't from this well. It's a different kind of water. It's a different kind of water. I want you to come and speak to him too. God is saying today, you can speak to the rock. Don't strike the rock. He's already been crucified once. He was never made to be crucified again. In this scripture in Hebrews, it said, it is as if we crucify him afresh. As if we're saying, what you did for me back then wasn't good enough. God can't do anything else but give his life. If that one time on the cross was not enough, then nothing will be enough. We need to not let our frustration, our pain, our hurts ever hit God. All we have to do is cry out. Blind man understood that. He heard Jesus was passing by. And he started shouting out, Jesus, thou son of David. They told him, shut up, you old man. You're making too much noise. He said, he cried out the more. He made even more noise. And Jesus stopped. He didn't have to hit him. He spoke to him. He spoke to him. And it stopped Jesus in his tracks. He says, what would thou that I do for you? Now Jesus could see he was blind. Jesus actually knows you're not informing him of your problems, but you still have to confess. You still have to speak it out. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I've got depression. Jesus could see the man was blind. That wasn't no mystery, but he still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? We have to speak to the rock. God could have just made it pour down water. He deliberately stopped the water so to test them again, see if they had passed the test, and they all failed it. They called the place that was holy evil. They called the place that was holy, evil. Lord, you brought me into this desert. I'm going through all kinds of, this is an evil place. You may be, have to be careful. The place you think is evil, the trials you're going through, maybe God setting you up for some great deliverance. This last place, Kadesh, was just before they crossed over. Kadesh was at the end of the 40-year journey. All they had to do was hold out and say, all right, we know how this story goes. We've seen how this happens. We go to Moses. Moses talks to God and water appears. But instead, they complained and murmured and called the place evil. In other words, they crucified him again. We don't want to strike out with God. He told the woman, all you have to do is ask of me. That's all you have to do is speak to the rock. Ask of me, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what I have. I'm coming to an end, but I just want you to understand, whatever desert place you're in, however it may look, why don't you try saying, this is holy place. Why was it a holy place? All they had to do was look up in the sky. The Bible said that that cloud that represented the presence of God was over the camp of Israel. You may not see the Holy Spirit in here today, but He's here. That cloud represented God's presence over them all the time for 40 years. And at night, the flame of fire, they could see it and yet could not believe it. And called the place evil. So God said, because of that, they will not enter into my rest. We have an opportunity to cease from our own works, because that's how you enter His spiritual rest. It's to stop worrying about it, stop complaining. I learned the lesson. God was merciful to me. The second time it happened, I was so happy. I was so happy. I was going to get 4 months free pay or go get another job and double up, whatever. I was smiling. I was so happy. I passed, at least that test I passed. God taught me. He humbled you and made you to know that man doth not live by what you see, but by every word that comes out of the word of God. This altar is open. We're going to close. We're going to pray. We're going to speak to the rock today. Before we go, we're going to speak to the rock. I ask you not to strike the rock. Don't get mad at God. Don't lash out at your circumstance. Don't call the place evil. For all you know, it's Kadesh. And God has brought you to this place to perform a miracle. You may be just on the verge of crossing over into your promised land. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, those who would like to come for prayer, we're going to pray for you. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, that we may be standing at Kadesh right now, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to understand that your cloud has been over us all this time. Your pillar of fire has been lighting our way by night, even though we could not see it, Lord God. That your providence has been over us and guiding us every step of the way. Even though, Lord God, it leads through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, we are not going to fear any evil, for thou art with us. Hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff do comfort us. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus, for your loving kindness, Lord God. Lord, we trust you, Lord Jesus. We are going to enter your spiritual rest. We're going to stop worrying about our situation. Our dependency is upon you. Our trust is in you. Hallelujah. Our deliverance is in you. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. We give you all of the praise and the glory. Church, if you could keep on praying as I pray for those at the altar.